You're listening to the Sketchnote Army Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rohde, the author of the Sketchnote Handbook and the Sketchnote Workbook. And this is the podcast where I chat with sketchnoters and visual thinkers and try to understand what makes them tick. This episode of the Sketchnote Army Podcast is brought to you by the Sketchnote Idea Book, the sketchbook designed for sketchnoters. Equipped with a no-bleed, no-show-through paper, the Sketchnote Idea Book can take almost any marker or pen you can throw at it. Save 15% on your entire order of Sketchnote Idea Books or AutoQuill pens at the Airship store when you use code IDEABOOK15 through December 31st, 2021. To claim your 15% off, visit airship.store today. Hey, this is Mike Rohde, and I'm excited to kick off Season 10 with talented illustrator and creative leader, Alejo Porras. Alejo is the creative lead at The Sketch Effect, a company that offers graphic recording and explainer videos. He's a trained and talented illustrator and also works as an artist coach, helping artists reclaim their joy in art. He shares stories about his work at The Sketch Effect, including their navigation through the pandemic business shift and more. You're really going to enjoy this episode. Hey, everyone. I'm here with Alejo Porras. Alejo, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike. I'm so happy to be here.
It's so great to have you. I've been seeing your work all over the place, and you just seem like a really great person to have on the show and talk about your story and somebody new for us to talk to. The funny story I had was when I started this podcast, two things I was worried about is who would want to listen to a podcast about visual thinking? And it turns out that a lot of people do because it's, you know, something you can learn from. And then the other thing I was worried about was, what if I run out of interesting people to interview? And that has never happened. So there's just always somebody new and interesting and fun that I come across. And you're one of those people. We sort of interacted on social media and we got you on the show because I just thought it would be great to have you on. So welcome. And to start us off, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yes, thanks. So I am Alejo, and I am originally from Costa Rica. I am right now I'm creative lead at The Sketch Effect, which is a company that does graphic recording and explainer videos, a visual communications company. But I'm mainly an illustrator. I studied illustration, and I do that kind of like on the side from time to time because now I have a full time job. Mm-hmm. But I'm also an artist coach. That's kind of like my side gig that I keep just, you know, a little bit here and there to help other artists who are struggling, you know, who are in that edge of like, I like art, but it's frustrating me and I'm losing my joy. So I like to help people, you know, deal with that and go and have a thriving career. So that's basically what I do. And yeah, I'm a dad and I'm a husband, both things in the same level. And those are probably the things that I should have started with because they're the ones that make me more excited. I love my family, so that's really me cool. In a nutshell,
that's really cool. So Sketch Effect, I know a little bit. We've had Emily Mills was on the show before she got married years ago, and she worked at the Sketch Effect for quite a long time, right? So we've had we've had her on the show, and I know about the organization. Do really cool stuff. Lots of teaching that I see, which is really nice. And but it sounds to me is the primary work there. It sounds like you said graphic recording. So in other words, large scale. Although the interesting question I will ask you is, because of the pandemic, maybe this has changed, right? Because for a year you haven't been in person, maybe still not in person. Was there a big shift for your company moving away from maybe in person, large scale to some kind of digital service? Or how did that impact you guys?
Yeah, definitely. Well, first I gotta say that you mentioned Emily Mills, and Emily was actually the person that I met first that led me towards the Sketch Effect, because when she was working there, I was like, what are you doing and who are you working with and how is that? And I just like asked her questions. She was like, email William. he'll tell you. So that's how it started. So I blame it on her.
Excellent.
I'm right now having this amazing opportunity to work in this company. And it's been quite a ride because I started as a graphic recorder with them in 2018, worked two years just as a contractor, because that's how we work with the live artists. And then decided to get more involved because I love the culture. And so I, after a period of dating, I kind of got married. That's how I like to call it. I told William, hey, how about, you know, I help out more often. So I started as a creative lead in January 2020, just in time for the pandemic. So it was a wild ride. But the good thing is that William had taken some good decisions in years prior. And actually, like, I think at the beginning of 2019, we had already bought like a bunch of iPads and sent them to the artists. And we were starting to say like, hey, there's a trend on this. Some people like this stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's start to work it out and start to learn. So when the pandemic hit, we lost all the gigs in less than a month, all the clients that we had like in less than a month. And we're like, okay. But within a week, we launched Remote Notes and we launched a new video style that was more affordable for people. And those kept us afloat because had it not been for the fact that we were prepared, like that we already knew, we were familiar with the iPads and how they work and Procreate and all that. Yes, there was a learning curve in, in like matters of technology and how everybody was now completely digital. But we're thriving because of that. Like this year is just picking up at like full speed ahead. And we're actually like saying, like seeing the trend of how it's going. And we're like, we're going to need more artists because the demand is going to, it's going to be intense by the end of the fall probably. So yeah, the business definitely, as any business, took a strong hit, but we stayed together, and it was a wild ride, but I think we're coming out of that wave. And actually right now we just feel like we're just stronger.
Yeah.
And it's been very awesome to have like this is my second experience of being a full-time employee. My first experience was back in Costa Rica way long ago. Well, I'm not that old, but you know, long ago.
Relatively speaking.
but yeah, for being my newest, I will say, experience of being a full-time employee, it was quite an adventure. So yeah, it's been interesting.
Cool. Well, that's really cool. Good to hear. And I think, you know, when this podcast releases, if you're interested in talking with William and Alejo with the Sketch Effect, maybe you should be reaching out when you hear this because they may be needing you, right? So this is probably a podcast to mention that on. So they do really great work. So what does it mean when you say you're a creative lead? What does that mean? What kind of things are you doing? Are you being, like you said, you're a coach a little bit on the side. Is it something like that as well? Like, I mean, obviously you're still doing work, but you're also coaching, it sounds like, right?
Yes. So it's a broad position, I will say, because I am mostly in charge of the creative team that is in the office, or like the local creative team, which is the animator and the illustrators there. So we do explainer videos. So when I have the meetings with the client and we see what they're gonna, you know, what the vision and what the idea of the video is and all that, I'm in charge of making the concepts and the storyboard based on that. And then I pass it on to the illustrators. They work the artwork and I supervise the artwork to make sure it's like in good quality.
Right.
And I also like coach them in different things and just like make sure that what we send to the client is like best. And I also, I'm also the challenging guy, cause like in a good way, because I like to keep improving all the time. I'm a geek for improvement and for learning. So I'm always like doing innovations like, hey, let's try this new style. Hey, how about we try this texture? Hey, how about we try this mode, like kind of animation? So I know sometimes I might stress people out a little bit because I'm always pushing the boundaries. But if you don't push the boundaries, you stay too comfortable. And if you stay too comfortable, your quality starts to stale. So I am the guy who does that. I supervise them and help them out. And then I also coach our network of artists. So being a graphic recorder previously for the Sketch Effect, like, and working, I mean, I was making more money working as a graphic recorder than I was at my personal business before I started working full time for the Sketch Effect. So it was basically my main sort of income. I was like going, saying yes to all of the events and to all the gigs So I got a lot of experience. And because I'm a geek for learning, I'm always like improving, like trying to find new tricks and tips. Mm-hmm. So I coach the network and we revise the boards that they do. And we find out, you know, what are they proud of? What do they feel like they would like to improve? And then I guide them to find out how can they improve it. So it's a lot of fun, many hats, but I'm also right now, and this is the kind of new, because you mentioned the stuff about, you know, doing workshops and teaching and all that. And this is something that we started last year, just because I also love to teach. Like it's awesome for me to share something and feel people like, oh, I get it. I've been struggling with this and now I get
it.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, you as a teacher, you probably see this all the time. So I before, you know, we started the conversation, I mentioned that I used to be in a youth group in Costa Rica, and part of the things that I used to do was teaching. I just love using metaphors and using art to teach people and to help mostly teenagers at that point. But now I'm like grabbing all that passion that I have and all the things that I've learned as a graphic recorder and as an illustrator and just as a leader in general, and putting them all together to talk about sketch notes. So we do like in the Sketch Effect Instagram, we do Instagram lives to share stuff that we do.
Yeah.
We're working on some like online workshops that people can just like get there, and it's like more intensive and all that. So I love that. I can't wait for the moment in which we can have people in a place and just do the workshop in front of them. Like, that's just like, it makes me bubble inside. I'm so excited for that. But yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing a lot of things. So it's always fun.
Yeah. Well, and I think Sketch Effect is a small company, right? So I've worked in small companies. I work in a big company now, but even in a big company and a small team, there's a tendency to do a lot of things, wear a lot of hats, just because you have to. It's got to get done. Someone has to do it. And if you're someone who's excited to learn and try things, you'll just find a way to do that. And then you build your skills. Yeah. So it's a benefit for the company and for you, right? So
yeah. And the thing is, like, it's kind of like I look for more things to do, which sometimes I just have to, like, our director of operations, West Western Operations, just tell me kind of like, it's okay to sometimes say no, you know, because I'm like, I want to do everything.
Yeah.
But then I realize I don't have the capacity, you know, or the energy or the time. So
maybe the trick is to learn how to do it, and then you know how to guide someone else. So then that person would be really good at that. Let's give that to them. And now I know how it works, so I can answer questions. Yeah,
totally. Totally. So,
So how did you end up in the, so we know that now where you are, we've got a pretty good idea of what you're doing with Sketch Effect. How did you end up in that place? So let's go back to 2018, right? That's when you started doing contracting. We have a pretty clear idea from here forward to now.
Yeah.
So let's look back 2018 backwards to when you started your, like, what am I going to do for school and my career and college? Like, where did you come from and how did you end up in this place? Was it a straight line from, was there some course you could take and become a graphic recorder, or was it like everybody else where we just wander around for years and then stumble into the right thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wander around for years. I have this thing that I like to tell people about. How do you find your style? How do you find your path? And for me, it's like going around with a metal detector and just try to find out where it goes beep, 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 you know, and when it goes beep, beep, then you have to start digging. And for me, it was like that in many ways. The problem for me was that everything made beep, beep, because I'm a curious person.
Yeah.
So when I finished my senior year in high school, my whole life, I think I wanted to do something related to art because I come from an artistic family, but I was just kind of scared of art because from Costa Rica is a very small market, and it's really, really hard to make it as an artist. Like most artists, even if they are like very prominent there, they still have other jobs that they have to do to sustain themselves. So I was scared of that. I didn't want to go that route. And then I had a teacher, a biology teacher in senior year of high school, who like exploded my mind with all the things biology wise. I was like, oh my gosh, nature is amazing. So I decided to do biology. So I went to college in my first year to study biology. And while I was there, I found out that it was not necessarily the place for me. So I eventually transitioned, and thanks to my mom, who kind of like pushed me in asked me, like, hey, why didn't you go and see this guy who is like a career counselor kind of thing? Mm-hmm. This guy showed me all the careers of all the universities in Costa Rica and said, like, okay, let's start to see what you like. Again, kind of like the metal detector thing. And many of them had a trend of something artistic. And I ended up choosing graphic design because it was the closest to art while not being art, you know? And actually the university that I studied in had like 8 drawing classes and like painting and all that kind of stuff that was very artsy. And I liked it before because of that. So I went as a graphic designer, like finished that career, worked as a graphic designer, and then found out that graphic design, it was not really my thing.
Still not quite, so not like, exactly. It was a little closer, but maybe not exactly right, huh?
Exactly, exactly. I was like, what I like is to draw. And actually, I had a job there in Costa Rica. I've only had 2 jobs, like full-time jobs, that one in Costa Rica and the Sketch Effect. And it was in an ad agency back in Costa Rica. And I dread it so much, like the long hours, the pressure and all that stuff. And I just felt like I was doing meaningless stuff because I was a junior designer too. So I just got like the small projects and all that stuff.
Yeah,
I learned a lot about design there, but then I also like to draw. So they started giving me like storyboards to do. Mm-hmm. And I love that part. And the senior designer told me, I see you more like an illustrator. And I was like, what is an illustrator? I don't know. So I ended up quitting that company and then thinking, what am I going to do? I don't like graphic design. Maybe I should do a master's, you know, like let's go study more. But I should get out of this country so that I can have a broader perspective of the world and maybe make some contacts and be clients somewhere else. And I was in an art festival in Costa Rica and there was a booth of when people have like, you know, different products they had, and there were some universities, and one of them, oddly enough, was the Savannah College of Art and Design, SCAD. And I was like, okay, these guys are from the United States, but they're here in Costa Rica. I didn't understand that, but I'm glad they were there, because when I saw like they had this book. It was like a book that Hermione Granger might just carry in her backpack, you know, like this huge thing that all it had was careers on art, everything, you know, there was fashion, there was animation, there was motion graphics, amusement park design. I was like, what is this? So I got enchanted and I decided to give it a go. And after some, it was probably like 2 years that took all the process of me just going there, kind of deciding, then making the calculations, you know, the budget and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the fundraising, which was a little bit crazy because there was a lot of people who helped me, and I'm super grateful for that, like my mom and my friends. Like I wouldn't be here if it was not for all the effort and all the, you know, noise that they made to help me out with that. So after that, I got accepted to SCAD and I did a master's in illustration there. So I think that's one of the moments in which I feel like my whole life I've had this kind of pressure of I must be doing something. I should be going somewhere, but I'm kind of held back. And I cannot blame that on anybody but myself, because it was not the economy of Costa Rica. If I wanted to be an artist, I could find a way. I have friends from Costa Rica that are doing awesome as comic artists. And, you know, that's fantastic. But for me, it was like, I had to find it somewhere. So I had to keep digging, have to keep looking. And when I finally went to SCAD, it was like the, you know, like, this is my place. This is where I can actually thrive, not start over, but start, you know, in a new way.
Because
now I was like, exactly, alone in a new country, being able to take ownership of all the things that I could do. And yeah, so like I did the best that I could in that in those 2 years. And funnily enough, unplanned completely, I met who is now my wife. So my plan was to go back to Costa Rica, but then she happened and I was happy to stay here, and we got married right after I graduated. So after that, she's an illustrator too. We actually met studying in the same building during finals, working late night, bunch of people, a lot of pizza. That's a story that I could tell another time. But yeah, so she's an illustrator too. So we like tag team, and the business that I said initially, like kind of as freelance, was us. We created a studio that is called Two Rivers Creative. And we started doing illustration work for different clients. So that was the thing that I was doing before the Sketch Effect. And we were living, you know, newly married in a mountain surrounded by deers. It was like the most awesome first years of marriage in which you're just with your couple, you know, and doing all that. But I'm an extroverted. I need people around me. And I love my wife, but I also need other people that I can like be in contact with. And I was starting to get a little crazy. So we're like, we need to do something, you know, we need to probably move. And right around that time, I bumped on those, you know, doing those rabbit holes or pursuing those rabbit holes on Instagram that you just kind of like, oh, look at this person. Oh, look at this. Oh, look at that. I found Emily Mills. And I was like, what is this? What is this thing? Like, she's like taking notes and drawing, and they pay her for that? Because I've been doing that since I went to college, you know, like. Actually, fun story. This is a parenthesis because, like, I started doing sketch notes, and I think this is very relevant for this podcast. I started doing sketch notes because my first classes in college were like these classes that everybody has to have, like history and philosophy and all that. They were on Monday at 7 a.m. Tell that to a college student, you know? So I was just there, like, my head was like this, like, dizzy. And I was having a hard time paying attention. So because I always like to draw, I just started doodling on my notebooks, and I will draw anything. Sometimes I will draw whatever the professor was saying. Sometimes I will just like draw my classmates or draw the class or just draw really silly stuff that I came out with. And then I went to study and I was like, oh crap, I didn't take notes, but I will see the drawings and somehow I will remember what the teacher or the professor was saying. So I was like, I guess I can still keep doing this, you know, and that helped me out. And then I started drawing in every meeting that I went to, and I was the guy always drawing, which led me to, because I was afraid of people feeling that I was disrespectful, like I was not, you know, he's the guy who's doodling because he's just bored.
Yeah.
It forced me to pay more attention and to ask questions during the meeting so that they could see that I was actually paying attention, which reinforced my active listening while I was drawing. So I have been doing that since my first year of college, very like unstructured, like very free. I will do urban sketch while I was taking notes. I will draw icons, anything. And then I saw, oh, there's a market for this. And there's people actually getting paid for that. And they get to go to conferences and listen to awesome speakers and they get to travel. Okay, where do I sign up? So
made for me.
I reached out. Exactly. Yeah, I won this. And but I was also kind of scared, to be honest, because I started a master's in illustration. Illustration is like you work on an illustration for hours, days. You know, the people who are listening are not gonna be able to see, but this is the kind of stuff that I do. I do scratch for illustrations.
Oh wow, yeah. That's
which really are like
very tedious super
intricate, like small lines for hours and hours and hours. It's very zen. And I was kind of scared, like, if somebody hires me to do this, would I be able to be fast as it is required? So I did what graduate school taught me well, which was every time that you're going to reach out to a client, you prepare a portfolio based on the client's needs. So if you do different kinds of illustration, but you're going to reach out to a client that does only kind of like botanical stuff, like or Nat Geo, you present your work that it's related to that. Right. You're not going to present your Pokemon drawings, you know, because that's nothing to do with that. So I took like 6 months to practice sketch notes, to study the sketch effect, to study their brand standards. I also started following other sketch noters and other companies. And I started doing it myself and gathering a portfolio so that when I apply, I had something to show for myself. And that worked out. So, yeah, I extremely recommend that. Definitely, if any of the listeners is desiring to be hired by a company to do that, definitely pays off, at least to understand that you're able to do it, you know, first. And then when I applied, they send me, we have a training for people who start working there. And then because the company was in Atlanta, and I was living like 2 hours north from Atlanta. My wife and I moved, which also was very on time because she was expecting by the time that we moved our first kid, only child right now. So it also helped out, you know, kind of like being a little bit closer to things, not being in the mountain.
Yeah.
So, and then I started working with the Sketch Effect, and it's been awesome ever since.
Wow, that sounds really great. That's a great story, and I think encouraging for anybody who's listening who's not sure what they're doing and feeling confused, that if you listen to Alejo talking, like, he kept on searching, right? He got the metal detector out until he kept finding something new until it was the right one. And it almost seemed like there was a Alejo-shaped space in the world, and like you were just trying these other spaces that didn't exactly fit you, and you got stuck. And then when you found the right one, you went right through, and then you were, you know, you were aligned to the right thing that you needed. That's kind of an interesting.
Yeah, and I will add to that, like what you mentioned, like the first space, what like I couldn't fit in it. I think that after my I did my master's, I learned something that I already kind of had that mentality in terms of learning, but in terms of my style as an illustrator, I went to do my master's without knowing that I had a style. I had to figure out what my style was, which I don't recommend. If you do a master's, it's so much better to already have your style and know what you want to do so that you can make the best of it.
Yeah.
It wasn't the case for me, but it still worked out. And what I learned is kind of like, so whatever the conditions are brought to you, if you want to take that opportunity, how do you want to mold yourself towards it? Because sometimes people are like, things have to fit, or I have to fit the things. And then there's no adaptability in that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to kind of realize that you can evolve, that you can be different. Like, I wouldn't have guessed that I will be doing this kind of work like 10 years ago, much less even when I graduated SCAD. I was like, I'm going to do scratch boards, and that's what I'm going to do as an illustrator. And then realize that I'm doing these doodles, these cartoons, this stuff that is like, you know, I've managed to be able to polish that to a certain degree because I just love to draw, but it's still not the level of intensity that a scratch board has. And part of my ego was like, oh, you're downgrading, you know, because going from doing this awesome stuff to just like doodles. But there's a lot of things that you can learn from sketch notes that are awesome. And I just decided to kind of, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to go with all. And here I am, and I'm loving it, you know. And the cool thing is also, like, I didn't have to quit my scratch boards. I don't necessarily do them for client work, but I keep them because it enriches me. I love to do it.
Now
I don't have the pressure to do. Exactly. I don't have the pressure to do it for money, you know. I just have to do it for myself, and I love that freedom. So, yeah.
So here's a question that just popped in my mind is, in the sketch notes that you do, have you found a way to integrate that scratchboard style in any way? Like more of a texture or using fine, maybe the problem there is just the speed that you need to move at. You maybe can't give it that, but maybe there's brushes that give that rougher feeling that maybe you're looking for. Has that been any part of your style?
Yeah, not really, I will say, because it's such a different medium, but something that I found out that stay consistent. And actually I was able to do, I was invited to talk to a class in SCAD a few months ago, and I shared this with them because I showed them like, this is the style that I found. And then now this is my style. This is the same person. So how do you find your style? Well, you compare them and see what are the similarities. So if you put my scratchboard work and you put the drawings that I do for sketch notes, you will see that all the compositions are like super dramatic and dynamic. I tend to do a lot of things that go in diagonals because it's kind of like how I represent dramatism. The people that I draw tend to be flowy and tend to be like floating or, you know, like running and stuff like that. So that essence persists in my sketch notes. I just do it faster now.
Than
I do a scratchboard. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different medium, right? So the expectations and requirements are different. You have to adapt to the medium. But like you say, the style or the spirit of it is coming from you, right? So it still gets expressed in the work, which is kind of cool. And that's the most fun thing that I think when I look at sketch notes is like After a while, I can see one and, oh, that's Rob DeMio. Oh, that's Professor Clayton. Oh, that's Emily Mills. Oh, that's, you know, name your name. I mean, it doesn't even matter. Like, once you start seeing their work, it just becomes their signature, right? And I think as you start to settle into a style, like inadvertently, like I think I've even heard, like, even if you try and copy your favorite artist, like eventually it's going to come out as your style because you can't duplicate it. It sort of gets your own fingerprint, right? So that's a pretty interesting, a pretty interesting thing.
If you put somebody else's clothes, it's still you.
Yeah.
You know,
that's an interesting way to think about it too. Yeah. And so are you mainly doing digital work now, or are you still doing any kind of large scale stuff that you did before the pandemic? Is that starting to come back now, or do you foresee that, or has the market shifted to maybe actually digital was the better solution, right, for many clients, right? Just because of not having to fly people, no hotels, like you can pipe in on a Zoom call, capture the information or work from a recording, or like that's suddenly really flexible. What are you seeing now that's had an impact in a positive way from the pandemic?
Yeah. It's a roller coaster. You know, the curve. When something happens, people start shifting, and then what was kind of like, I wouldn't say necessarily elite, but maybe rare, becomes trendy. And after that curve, people need something else to feel like they're not getting the same thing that everybody does.
Unique.
So that goes along, you know, with kind of how you approach style. I see a lot of styles in graphic recording and sketch notes, and I am obsessed with studying them. Like, you name it. I probably don't remember the names of people because of so many that I see.
Sure.
And I'm like, how are they doing that? How can I translate that to what I do? Oh, look at that. And then I learn a lot, of course, from the artists that work at the Sketch Effect, because they also come out with fresh things. And I'm like, oh, I've never thought about that. So, in terms of trends, we started having already some a few on-site events. And actually, I went to two. One was very weird because I went on-site, but they were in another site. Like, I went to their office, but they were in a hotel nearby. So it was still virtual, but I went somewhere. So I guess it's kind of half and half. But I did go to another one. It was like six people, super distance and all that. And I was so happy to go back to markers. I miss them so much. Now, since I'm a creative lead, I don't go that much to events, like one event, because I have other, you know, responsibilities and other things that I need to, that I'm in charge of. But I can totally see a trend of people going back to on-site events, at least for graphic recorders, because there's one thing, at least in this gig that I went to that was in person, man, I almost teared up. Like, I had to just kind of be there on the side and just kind of like prepping my board, because when they enter, it was like, oh my gosh, it's been so long. I miss you. And like, the co-workers, and I was like, this is so nice. And I was like, yeah, it feels like we were cast away, you know, and we came back with Wilson and we finally, you know, light up thing instead of like having to smash the rocks. And it was like, this was so great. I miss it so much. And I feel like people are really, you know, missing that. Of course, you know, I cannot predict how it's going to be.
Sure.
And I know that in different parts of the world, the situation is very different, but I see that there's people that are looking for a sort of hybrid kind of event, and maybe not the same amount of people on site, but still having something tactile, something that we can see. And I was talking with one of the illustrators, the Sketch Effect, Alison, and we were talking about how it is so necessary for us humans to be physical. Like, if everything is digital, we kind of lose part of the humanity that we have. Not in the sense that we become less human, but we just don't experience life through a digital, like, our brains are not wired like
that. It's got no depth to it, right? Everything's flat, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And you cannot smell it. You cannot feel it. You cannot hear it in the same way. And there's just something about presence that makes us feel like we're human and that we can thrive, you know, in this environment. And That for doing art, it's one of the reasons why I still do some scratch boards and why I still do some ink drawings and sketch notes on paper, because we are in a way like just still animals that we need that sensation to feel like we're doing something relevant,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So digital is awesome. I love it, but there's a balance there that we need to keep. And I feel like in graphic recording, there's definitely an opportunity now to start going to some on-site events and doing some stuff like that.
So. It almost seems like the pandemic in a way took something like, I think graphic recording in many ways was very physical, marker-oriented, large scale, in space, live, often in front of the crowd, right? So a performance, like all those aspects, right? So that was, if you talked about graphic recording, that's what it was. When the pandemic came, that shut down. You can't do that anymore. Now, some people were being creative and like in their office on the wall, they were doing it still and then watching it. So there were creative ways to do it. But in some ways, I feel like the pandemic just took this narrow definition of what it is and then pushed it open. So now you have on one side, here's all this analog exactly the way. Maybe there's something in between, like you were saying, where you're in an office doing it physically and all the people are in another room watching, right? And then maybe there's the digital. So it like actually expanded the meaning of what that was and gave it, it actually makes it more attractive and interesting and useful for more clients who might want a different thing. Like, I want a PDF at the end that I can share with my team. Well, maybe digital's better for you because the format's better or whatever. And we want an experience. We want people to see things happening in the moment. Well, then we shift you over to the analog with the big wall and stuff, right? Because that is more aligned to what you need. So it actually, I think it made the menu bigger for people.
Yeah.
And probably is better in the long run for graphic recording and sketchnoting, because now you've got more options to work with in some ways.
Yeah. It definitely is one of those things that you probably felt when you started with sketchnoting. It's like, this is, you know, the snowball effect of like, I throw this to the world and then start growing and growing and growing and growing. And oh my gosh, I didn't know it could be so big. And it's mesmerizing to see how it evolves. I feel like the part, at least of myself, that I try to stay aware of is, what is the thing that I'm going to do out of all of this? Because I have a tendency, because I'm a geek for learning and I love to experiment, to do a lot of things, then I can spread myself thin and get frustrated because I'm not able to accomplish certain level of excellence or polishing. So I can get frustrated because I feel like I'm not gaining traction, and seeing all those references for me is like, okay, once I realize what's my main thing, how can I incorporate those things to what I do? Instead of how can I do many different things?
I see.
I imagine for people who do like graphic recording or sketch notes, like they're like a one man or a one woman business kind of thing. If they start offering all these things, they would go crazy, you know? Oh, I can do on site. Oh, I can do digital. Oh, I can do it with crayons. Oh, I can do it, you know, with, you know, all these things. It's like, then people might have a hard time kind of like, so if she or he can do all these things, like can he or she do it well, all of them?
Right.
So that seems like, so yeah, I think there's a thing about being niche and like specializing. Yeah. It's not about not doing everything else. It's just how to incorporate all the things that you're seeing into the main thing that you do.
Yeah. That's a great way to
make it more relevant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that very much. Yeah. I think it does make sense to sort of, I think it's a lot easier to be unique in yourself if you focus on one or a couple of areas and then pour in other tidbits into that, right? So instead of like spreading yourself and doing everything, like, well, nobody can really do it everything well, so let's focus on one thing and have maybe a couple of other things that are aligned to it. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it's like you do pasta, and then pasta's your thing, and then you do some recipes with pasta, but you don't start going into sushi because you need to diversify. You just do pasta, that's your thing, and do it well, you know, and do it awesome. So that's my point. So yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense, Alejo. So let's shift a little bit. I'm really curious about, as an illustrator especially, what are your favorite, let's start with analog and we'll switch to digital after, Okay. Favorite pens and paper and notebooks. I guess you're going to maybe talk about doing the personal art that you do, the scratchboard stuff.
Yeah.
If people don't know what that is, it's basically it's a hard tipped, almost like a pen, like a fountain pen type thing that you use to scratch away this paper that's white paper with black coating or paint or something. And then you scrape it away to reveal. It's sort of like a reveal. So you're sort of working a negative or something. I don't know. I did this in the past. It was really fun.
Yeah. It's a subtracting method. That's how they describe it. Now, the way that I do it actually can be additive and subtractive.
Okay.
Because what I use is this material called clayboard. That is essentially like a kind of, it's a hard surface that is white. So, I block the with ink some areas that I'm going to scratch away.
Okay.
And then with some liners, I crosshatch other parts that I'm going to. So the effects are different because when you use the pen or the liner over the white, it kind of makes the gradient different. So I don't really know how to explain it more than that. And you kind of have to try it out. But the part of like scratching away, like you use like this. I forgot the name of it, but it's like a, you can use an X-Acto knife even if you want to just kind of make very thin lines, and there's a lot of patience on that. I guess, you know, for scratchboard, there's not a lot that you can choose from in terms of
it's pretty straightforward.
Clayboard is the brand, and that's the only one that I found that has it. The big guys who are doing scratchboard, the ones that I admire the most, are using that. And then you just use ink, like permanent black India ink. And I use sometimes like other Sharpies and other stuff. And the material is really flexible for you to do it that way. If you are listening and are interested in looking at my scratchboard work, if you go to my website, you won't find it there anymore. So you'll have to scroll on my Instagram and it's somewhere in there. But
when I do the show notes, I'll make sure to put a link to that. And I'll also look up, I'll look up clayboard and liners that on Amazon or something. So you can at least see like, what is it I'm looking for? If you don't go on Amazon, you can find it at a local art store, I'm sure. So
yeah,
we'll put that in the notes so you can see.
Okay.
Now, what about your analog sketch notes? So are there notebooks, paper, pens, markers? Do you have a brand of marker that you like? What's sort of your kit when you do analog? And I guess that extends to, you know, graphic recording too, because then you're doing large scale.
Yeah, for sketch notes, I like to use a Winsor & Newton liner that I always have with me. It's like a 1.0. That's very thick. And it's like a felt kind of tip. And it just helps because I like to start with a bold font instead of like going like and trying to build the font
like
bold
from
a very thin. It's nice. It's so nice. And I basically use that one. And then I use a Faber-Castell, the Echo Pigment. I use those like a 0.5 or 0.3 for the rest of the text. And that's what I use. And then for sketch notes or places where I do like the paper kind of thing, I just bought your idea book sketcher. Yeah. It arrived yesterday. So I haven't been able to play with it, but I already feel like the paper is awesome. So I'm very excited to try it out. But I use mostly a brand that is called, I don't know how to pronounce it, Leuchtturm.
German. Yep.
Yes, 1917. That's fancy stuff. but most of the time, actually, my sketch notes, which like the sketch notes that I do for like everyday life, not to show, you know, around, are very, very, I would say like messy. They're super messy.
That's kind of cool.
I do them in this like small notebooks that
notebooks?
I get.
Okay.
Yeah. That I like, I just get from everywhere. Like every time that I have the opportunity to grab some from a conference or a hotel or anything like that, I carry them in my pocket. So like even the notepad is like destroyed, but I do that. And then I also use, I'm falling in love with Lemomi. This is for bullet journaling. I do some sketch notes on my bullet journal. And I just have found that this one, the dotted one, not only is cheap on Amazon. It's like super cheap, but the quality is really good. So it helps me to do my bullet journal because I write a lot.
Okay.
So those are the materials that I use most of the time, but I'm always experimenting too. I bought a book that is like a bigger like sketchbook that has mm-hmm. some tooth to it. I've never done sketch notes in a paper that has tooth. I want to see how it goes. Mm. And yeah, so I'm always experimenting with that.
Cool. Well, we'll make sure when we'll put those in the show notes for people that are curious and
yep.
make sure we check with you to make sure we have the right links. What about digital? So I'm assuming you use iPad Pro, maybe not. Maybe you're using a yep. Cintiq or a Wacom tablet, or I don't know.
Yeah, no, there's no turning back from me from the iPad Pro. It stole my heart. And oh my gosh, it's like, no, the Apple Pencil has been a revolution for me. We have, my wife and I have a Wii U tablet here, which is like competition from Wacom. Because we just like feel like the quality of other tablets versus Wacom is like very similar now. Mm-hmm. And just in price point for me, it's like, you know, it's the same. It's the same. So we just bought the Uyun and it has turned out good. But even with Wacom, like the pen, there's just something that I'm not comfortable with.
Mm.
It's just like too big and too stuffy. So I like the Apple Pencil because it just feels like a pencil. And then Procreate is just amazing. And I'm kind of happy that they're like putting Adobe a little bit in a, you know, in a pickle there of like, oh, there's somebody who managed to do something that everybody loves and
yeah.
you don't have to pay a subscription for it. You just pay for it once, which I'm very grateful for whoever did Procreate. So yeah, Procreate and iPad Pro is what I do for every digital stuff that I do.
Excellent. Excellent.
It's fantastic.
So this is the part where we shift away from tools and we shift to tips. So you're a coach, you're a lead. You've probably seen all kinds of things. The way I frame it for the guests is I would love three tips from you. The person I imagine listening is someone who's excited about sketchnoting, graphic recording, visualization, some aspect of that. They are excited, but they've reached a plateau maybe. And they just need a little mm-hmm. encouragement. How would you encourage somebody? What would be three things you would encourage them to do to maybe break out of that funk or that plateau that they're in and move to the next level?
Yeah. I think this one is probably very obvious because it's so obvious, we sometimes forget about it. Like if you have a moment in life, anything in which you're stuck and you don't know where to go, you go and find help.
Hmm.
And like, you know, if I'm stuck in a quicksand, I'm not going to just stay there screaming. Oh, I'm, you know, I'm sinking. It's like, I reach out and like try to see who is around me who can like give me a hand or like give me a new perspective. And that's why I believe so much in coaching. That's why I believe so much in community. That's why I believe so much in being able to have some artist friends who give you fresh eyes and being able to give good feedback. I think if you are stuck, then ask for help. And sometimes it's kind of scary. The worst thing that can happen is that people say no, or they don't answer. And in any case, if they say no, you're still in the same place. You're not worse. So the best thing that can happen is they say yes, and then you get, you know, some help, some new insight. So that would be my first tip.
Mm-hmm.
I know it can be hard, but reach out. And second tip, if you're stuck in your growth as an artist, I will try to ask the question of where is it that I'm stuck? Because, you know, there's multiple reasons why you could feel stuck. One of them could be maybe artistically you feel like you're doing the same thing over and over and again, and it doesn't feel like it evolves. Maybe it's from a professional level, like you're not getting any leads, you're not getting any clients, and that makes you feel stuck. Or maybe it's just you're getting so much work that you're not enjoying it anymore because you're doing stuff for other clients. And, you know, in graphic recording and sketchnoting, you are being hired by people who most of the time have very dry or complex jobs and want to make it more fun. So as a default, you're gonna cover some pretty boring topics that you have to spice up, you know, and that can drain you up. So ask yourself, what is the thing about this that is holding me back or that is keeping me, you know, stuck? And then once you define what it is, then you'll be able to find, you know, like to find what is the thing that you can do for that. And if you don't know, then number one, go ask for help. Hey, I'm stuck in this. What are your thoughts on that? That is a very general advice, but you know, it's very general because I don't know any specific cases right now that I can talk to all about. But the third tip, man, I feel like I have to make it really good.
Nah, I think it's, would be my doing third great. Tip?
Drink a lot of water.
That's always a good recommendation.
I was going to say sleep well, but I do have a problem. Like I find it so hard for me to sleep my 8 hours. It's so hard for me. So I don't want to advise people something that I'm not doing, but I'm going to have that as an undercover tip. It's good when you sleep, but I guess my third tip would be to stay curious, to kind of like believe and really acknowledge that everything changes and you have the chance to change it for the better. Like your style, like even your person, like we're never the same person. I'm not the same person I was a year ago. And we can make changes now to make our future self better. And that goes the same with your artwork, with your sketch notes and your career. It can always become better, even if it's cloudy right now. If you believe that it has happened, or it could happen, then this might sound cheesy, but like your mind and your heart are open for the opportunities to come. And when the opportunity comes, because it's open, it will enter. So if you're not open to it, then of course it would pass by.
It'll bounce off or something. Yeah.
Exactly. So, believe that. I mean, this really sounds so cheesy, but it's possible. Like really, if you believe that you can get better, then you'll focus yourself, your attention in walking towards the direction that makes you better instead of wasting time on the things that you can complain about. So, I think those would be my three tips.
Those are great. I think that's always the first step is being open and curious. That leads you in the right direction. Right. So, You don't go anywhere without that. So that's super important. So Alejo, how can we find you? How can we find you on social media? Do you have a website? Like, what are the places we can go see your work, reach out to you, you know, reach out if someone's interested and really curious about joining Sketch Effect? Like, where would they go to? Obviously for Sketch Effect, you would go to sketcheffect.com, right? But specifically for you, how can people reach out to you and get to know you and connect with you?
Yeah. Well, for the Sketch Effect, it would be the Sketch Effect, like Sketch Effect.
Thank you.
So yeah, just in case. And you can find me on the Instagram of the Sketch Effect because my face shows up in the Instagram stories all the time. And I do workshops, like online Instagram lives there. So you'll find me there. I'm very involved in that leadership and teaching part of it. But personally, you can find me at alejoporrasart.com. So it's alejoporrasart.com. And that is my art coaching site. So you'll find stuff about, you know, if you want coaching, if you want somebody to help you out with a project or just in general to help you with your career and your plan as an artist, just to find joy in making art again, I can help you with that. I also have this series of videos that I send to people every Monday. It's called Fresh Ideas, and they're like 2-minute videos with practical tips to help you creatively and help you start the week super pumped. So that's totally free if you just want to check that out. And then I'm mostly active on social media on Instagram. That is kind of like, that is my neighborhood, I will say. I go from time to time to Clubhouse, and I love Clubhouse because I love to talk with other people, and it's very refreshing. I think it's very human, just being able to just listen, and probably that's the reason why people love podcasts so much. It's like being there in the room with the people without actually being there. So it's the same, Alejo Porras Art for Instagram, for Clubhouse, for Twitter. Twitter, sometimes I just say hi and post something, but I'm really like, it's like, I don't know even how to say it. It's kind of like a thing that is forgotten there. It's kind of like my guitar. I play guitar. I have a guitar somewhere here. It just sometimes I remember it's there and I go and play it and then I just leave it there and it stays like all sad for months. So that's sweeter to me. Show up and say, hey, and then just ghost.
comes and, in handy occasionally, yeah.
Exactly. And I don't know why I'm still on Facebook, honestly. Also, it looks like that's one of those things, like I post on Instagram and repost on Facebook, but I never check Facebook. So if you ever say anything to me on Facebook, I will never see it, which is terrible. I should just take it out.
You can't do it all. You can't do it all, Alejo. You can't do it all.
Exactly. No, I mean, I don't like Facebook. That's why I ask myself, like, why is it still there? It's just really, I'm too lazy to go and erase it. Yeah, those are the places where you can find me. And if you're in Atlanta, then reach out to me on Instagram, because I would love to somehow hang out with people that are local. The pandemic has been funny because I was freelancing, working from home, and then pandemic hit while I was doing my full-time job. And then suddenly I was still working from home. So I was like, oh, when am I going to meet people? I'm definitely very excited to be able to eventually going to meet some artists around here and hang out and go and draw stuff. So, cool. Yeah.
Well, this has been a really fun discussion. Thank you for being on, Alejo, and telling your life story and sort of how you ended up where you are and the things you're doing and all this great stuff. It's been just great to hear you and have a chance to hear another really great voice in the community. I just love hearing more voices. So thank you for being on.
Yeah. Thanks so much. It's been an honor, Mike. Big fan of your work, big fan of what you do, and big fan of the heart of teacher that you have. So I'm very honored to be able to have this opportunity to share with you my story, and seeing that you are like so interested and, you know, so engaged with that, it's very meaningful to me. So thanks so much for having me here.
You're so welcome. And for everyone who's listening to the show, this will end another episode of the Sketchnote Army Podcast. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon. The Sketchnote Army Podcast was created by me, Mike Rohde, and brought to you by Rohde Design Studios. It's produced and edited by Alec Polianis of Amp Creative Studios. The theme music was created by John Schiedemeyer. To support the creation of this show, I invite you to buy one of my books, the Sketchnote Handbook or the Sketchnote Workbook. You can find the books on Amazon or go to peachpit.com and use the code RODY40 for 40% off. Please share this podcast with other visual thinking friends and be sure to leave a nice rating on iTunes or your favorite podcast listening app so others can find the show.